Aloha, I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Welcome to The Body Show. Each week we talk about health and fitness, but none of what we discuss replaces a visit to your own primary care provider. We have got an exciting show. This is the third in the three-part series of New Year, New You on The Body Show. But first, before I introduce our very excited guests, we have Jessica Munaz on the line. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and she's here to highlight why all of us should care about this devastating problem that is right here in our own backyard and throughout the world. Jessica, welcome to The Body Show.
Hi, thank you, Kathleen.
Well, now, tell me a little bit. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and it was highlighted by President Obama. It's been highlighted by other members in the media. And, you know, sometimes we think about human trafficking and we don't really quite know what it is. How would you define trafficking?
Human trafficking is defined as specifically when we're talking about sex trafficking, is when there's a commercial sex act of which something of value is given or received by either person. So that thing of value could be money, food, drugs, or shelter. And when we talk specifically about children, we're talking about the commercial sexual exploitation of children, which is when a child is forced to engage in some sort of commercial sex act. And these kind of sex acts can be prostitution, pornography, stripping, and most often children are exploited through the internet or on the street.
So now a lot of people might say that happens everywhere else. That doesn't happen here in Hawaii. I've never heard of it. I never see it. But that's not necessarily the case. What are the statistics about this affecting people right here at home?
Well, the statistics question is always an interesting question because, yes, most people are aware of trafficking happening overseas, and we're not often aware of it happening right here in Hawaii. The difficult thing we have in Hawaii as far as the statistics is we don't really have a great way of tracking the number of cases. So to really understand the overall statistics around the prevalence in Hawaii is difficult, but what we can look at is some of the risk factors. Hawaii is a prime location for traffickers who want to exploit children. We have an international business destination. We have conferences here constantly. We have tourism. We have military. We have a lot of trading that takes place between the East and the West. But within our Hawaiian Islands, we also have a significant runaway population and a significant number of children that are out on the streets. And what happens is the U.S. Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention estimates that there's about 1.6 to 2.8 million youth that run away every year in the U.S. So if you take those numbers, and then there's an estimate put out by the National Missing Children's Center saying there's around 100,000 newly enslaved children involved in prostitution a year. So when we look at the runaway population, there's an estimated 85% chance that a runaway teen girl will be trafficked by the second time that she runs away from home.
So now we know that this is a problem. We know that there are runaways. We know that there are, unfortunately, runaway girls that may get involved in this sort of activity. What can we do? So what can the rest of us do? Some of the work that you've done, you've had articles published in Emergency Physicians Monthly on identifying victims. You've also had a comprehensive article published in the American College of Emergency Physician Journal. And part of what you've been doing is trying to educate people, healthcare providers and others, about how would you identify someone who was being trafficked? What are some of the signs that either a healthcare professional or even just a regular citizen would see that might make them think, hey, there's something going on here, and then want to proceed and do something about it?
So oftentimes, when we're talking specifically about children, adolescent females are inherently at risk. It doesn't matter if they're runaways or not. Having a history of abuse, having a history of violence within the home, multiple foster and group home placements, All of those things are some of the psychosocial indicators. Oftentimes, if she has a boyfriend who is significantly older than she is, some of the physical signs that we can see that I educate physicians and healthcare professionals on is when she is brought into your clinic or your emergency room, really looking at the physical signs. So maybe a history of drug abuse. You can look at the way in which she's dressed. Also, a lot of our victims end up having branding, which are tattoos. And oftentimes it's their street name or his name. Her perpetrator, her pimp, will often brand her with his name. Those can be found on the upper breast, the arm, the back, the low back, the nape of the neck, down in the suprapubic area. Poor management of chronic medical conditions and untreated medical conditions. I always educate on the signs of assault, but oftentimes our young girls won't come in saying they've been assaulted. So it's really important doing a really good psychosocial and physical exam for our healthcare providers, but then also for community members, know who your neighbors are. You know, get to know who your neighbors are, because this sexual exploitation of children doesn't just happen in hotel rooms and in apartment buildings. It happens all over. And so you should be aware of who lives by you and who's coming and going, and get to know the dynamics of your neighborhood.
Now, what would you do if you had a suspicion? I mean, I would imagine if you think something's going on in maybe a neighbor's house, you might not feel comfortable just knocking on their door saying, hey, what's going on in here, guys? I mean, it could be somewhat risky. It could put you in a dangerous situation. What should people do if they are concerned that there might be something happening that is untoward, whether it be sex trafficking, whether it be some other type of negative situation? What should you do?
Well, I think if the suspicion is pretty high and there's, you know, any possibility that there's a apparent or suspected danger to the person involved, I think it's the most important thing to do would be to call 911, just because, you know, you can be a good observer first and you don't want to put yourself in harm's way. But if you've been watching the situation long enough and it's nothing that could pose imminent threat to yourself, there is the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline that you don't have to be completely certain, but if you suspect that there's a trafficking situation, you can call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. And I can give you that number. It's 888-373-7888.
Now, what would they do? Like, I know that if you call Adult Protective Services, then it's usually an anonymous report, and then someone comes to a home and does an investigation, and they come up with some sort of a decision or a conclusion. What happens if you were to report someone at this hotline? What's the next step? The national hotline, then what do they do? Do they notify local authorities?
They do. They work. So basically, when you call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center, it's not based here in Hawaii, but it is a national number. And then they reach out to the local authorities who work within trafficking cases here in Hawaii.
So as opposed to as opposed to a 911 call, what if, hey, this has been going on for a while,
right?
You're just suspicious. It's not really like, let's get the cops here now. You could call this national number and something would happen. There would be some kind of investigation. Do you have to give your name? Can you be anonymous?
No, I believe you can be anonymous. I believe you do not have to give your name. I've never given my name when I have called before.
Okay. And so, did you ever, like, if you've called before to notify the national authorities, was there any follow-up? Did you ever figure out if anything happened? I mean, if you don't give your name, I guess it would be kind of hard to know if the investigation took place and anything was ever discovered.
Yeah, I personally only know because I'm involved heavily in the anti-trafficking efforts here in Hawaii, and my organization of Ho'olanapua works very closely and collaborates with all law enforcement here in Hawaii. So I tend to get follow-up on these cases that are reported. But, you know, I think the most important thing, especially for community members, is that they make the call, right? Because it's better to speak out and say something than not say something at all.
And that number again would be?
That number again is 888-373-7888. And I think it's important, too, for community members to realize that that this can be anyone's daughter or son. You know, we often say she and refer to females, but this happens to young boys as well. This crime knows no socioeconomic or racial boundaries. And so it's important for people in our community to really start embracing this issue, because these are our children and our young women that live in the community, and our lack of awareness and not being able to recognize are further continuing a lot of these young women and children to being enslaved. And it's so important, because there's so many different facets to this issue of trafficking, and it's going to take our community really coming together and rising up to combat this.
Well, and I think on that note, definitely the need to have a more in-depth discussion sometime in the near future and really talk about some of these issues again in such a way that we can really bring together some of the folks from your organization and bring this topic home, so that we can all, like you said, embrace this problem and figure out a way to work on it together. So definitely thank you for taking your time during a holiday to call in and talk with us. And we'll have to keep in touch, Jessica. We're going to have to talk some more about this soon.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. That was Jessica Munez. She is currently the lead nurse practitioner for the emergency medical physicians at Palomoe Medical Center here on Oahu. And her passion is to stop human trafficking. Certainly something we should all keep an eye out for. Now, for our part three of the three-part series of New Year, New You, we've got some more to talk about today on The Body Show. I want to introduce my guests, because what we're going to be talking about today is we're going to talk about how you can make exercise fun. How can you put the fun back in fitness? Because for a lot of us, when we think about the end of the day, we've been at work, we have to go exercise or do something, it's so not on the top of our to-do list, and it's so much easier to go home and hang out on the couch. So how can we make it more fun so that people could get involved? Well, we have got some folks here today in the studio that have some great ways to explain their particular area of fitness and how to make fitness something anybody can want to do. So here in the studio, we have Gabriel Solis. He is from Gyrotonic, and he works at the Rehab of the Pacific, comes to people's homes, and has several locations where he does a very unique form of exercise that he'll tell us more about in a few minutes. We have Casey Carlberg, well-known in the islands, from Tri Fitness, and she is going to talk about what's going on in the fitness world and what's happening and events that can help to motivate you to get started on your exercise goals. We've got the STRAB or HPH Women's 10K coming up in the next few weeks, and so how could somebody start a training program if they decided they wanted to do that? We also have Russell Van Dyken here from Yoga Loft. And that's available for the folks on the west side. We want to keep you aware and involved. There's some great stuff going on out there in Kapolei and Waipio. And he's brought one of his instructors, Zenny, to discuss what it's like to be in a class and to see other people starting from scratch, wanting to learn the benefits of yoga. Now, as always, any Monday, you can contact any one of our guests. We're all here live in the studio at 941-3689. Toll free from our neighbor islands, 877-941-3689. Welcome to the studio, my fitness friends.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about exercise, because for a lot of folks, it's just they may not find it to be the fun, exciting thing they want to do every day. But I look at you guys here, and you all seem to be happy, well-rested, smiling, and probably did a whole lot of exercise today while some of us had a holiday, while we were working or whatever we were doing. So let's kind of go around the table, and I want you to tell me just a little bit about your particular area of fitness. Gabrielle, I don't know what Gyrotonic is, so you're going to have to explain that a little bit. But tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Okay, so again, I work at a couple different places. I was invited into rehabilitation hospital at Pacific by Teresa Wong. She was the director of the clinic, and I'm the only one who is not a PT or OT. And so the difference with me was a lot of functional training and such. My dad's a professional boxing coach. The way this all started was Les Murakami. I'm sure we all know the baseball coach. And he was asked by Teresa if he had ever heard of Gyrotonic. And he kind of laughed. He says, "Oh, I've been training with Gabe for 4 years. So who's Gabe?" And so Teresa came to watch me and how I work with him and saw that we were doing boxing techniques. And like you brought up earlier, this was something that she hadn't seen in the clinic setting, was where one was receiving therapy but was having a lot of fun. You know, Les, he gets up and he stands there and with one arm he's swinging, throwing combinations and so forth, and he's laughing. And if he hits me, he laughs even harder. So I do it.
Hopefully you laugh too. Okay.
So in that type of situation, let's say fighting, where you're trying to knock somebody else down, they're trying to do the same to you, to come into a rehab situation, you're helping somebody with their balance, those types of things really come into play. I was also a professional dancer. I danced in the Nutcracker, and I'm very involved with Honolulu Dance Studio. And so I work a lot with dancers, but that ballet technique has helped a lot of people find their center, find proper alignment. My first time in a ballet class, I was sitting there and I was doing nothing but standing still in the most excruciating pain that I ever experienced. And I was like, wow, I want to take other people there. So dance is a big part of the training I do with different people. So ages all the way from, I do creative movement at Central Union Preschool. So I have 3 and 4 year olds. We do creative movement class. So from that age to my oldest client is 99 years old, where I do water rehab class at Rehab of the Pacific. So there's a lot of things out there, and so I'm excited to hear from our other guests and for those of you who are listening to see that exercise can be fun. Gyrotonic, what is gyrotonic? I'm going to be very specific about it. The gyrotonic expansion system is an exercise system that simultaneously stretches and strengthens your body with minimal effort while increasing range of motion and developing coordination. It was developed by Julia Horvath, an Hungarian-born professional ballet dancer, and is based on principles of gymnastics, swimming, ballet, and yoga. The gyrotonic expansion system is supported by equipment designed around the human body to allow total freedom in movement without restriction of speed, versatility, therefore enhancing coordination, strength, and flexibility.
Okay. So that was a big mouthful.
I know.
So okay, let me make it real simple. Do you use stuff? Do you use equipment?
Yeah, so there's two systems. There are some specific equipment for gyrotonic. I train on the gyrotonic expansion system, which is a tower. It's a pulley system. It works for your upper body and lower body. What makes gyrotonic unique about other systems is that you find strength and expansion. Where most systems compress the joints, you're expanding. You create space in the joints, and everything moves in circles and spirals, which is just how our joints move.
And so it's really based on the principles of the opposite of, like, lifting weights and weight training. It's sort of don't compress those muscles. Expand, give your body some better balance, increase your core, work on your strength. All those sorts of things that we hear. And you lost me at creative movement for 3 and 4 year olds. And I went, that's the class for me.
Oh, there you go.
Creative movement, 3 and 4 year olds. That's about my level. Okay.
There you go.
So it sounds really interesting. We're going to talk some more about some of the particular unique medical situations where you've had a fabulous impact with some folks who have had spinal cord injuries and strokes and a variety of other difficulties. Let's go around the table and talk to a couple more of our guests here. Casey, I've known you forever. You're the triathlon queen. You did an Ironman. Bow down to you for that fitness expertise and amazing ability. You do a whole bunch of different programs throughout the year. Your goal is to make fitness fun.
Yes, that is our motto. We put the fun in fitness. So it's a real pleasure to be back here again, Kathy, and I so enjoy hearing about what you're doing in your life, and as well as it's the beginning of the year and people are just wanting to do something new, and a lot of my clients that have been doing triathlon or doing certain activities, they just wanted to spice it up. So we have different activities like boot camp and try to incorporate different things like kettlebells. But more importantly, we're really focusing on body strength, body movement, functional training this year, because that's really at the core of again, core development, but balance and strength, especially as we get older. And you really rely upon a really strong core when you're out doing endurance activities and also other things, just like picking up your groceries, going out and playing golf, you know, doing the fun things that you like to do in life.
And so in order to be able to continue to do those things,
yes,
as we get older, we need to work on fitness now. You talk about core, and it literally is the core of the body, but the foundation for movement and going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every time you work out, you want to think about, you know, putting money in your fitness bank. And especially as we go down the line, and Gabriel was talking about his senior clients, and, you know, especially when we go into that older, the decades of our lives, it's really important, because those are the times when we might get ill or might have a fall, and our resilience comes from our fitness and our endurance, cardiovascularly speaking, but also just in terms of our musculoskeletal structure that we have. And that really is something that we need to rely on.
That those golden years that they kind of give that wonderful name to, but you know what they should say is challenging years, and the ways that we need to work on keeping ourselves healthy throughout life. Okay, you know, we're going to take a quick 1 minute break, and then we're going to come back and talk with Russell Van Dyken from Yoga Loft and talk a little bit about how yoga helps people with exercise and how that actually can be a very valuable form of activity that can do all of the things that you need and maybe even help mental health as well. So I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Stay with us here on The Body Show. We'll be right back after this quick break.
On The Next Humankind, we examine how the American civil rights movement strove not only for equality, but also to change the hearts of opponents through nonviolent protest. And a visit with Dr. Arun Gandhi, grandson of Mahatma Gandhi, who deeply influenced Martin Luther King.
Next time on Humankind.
This evening at 6:30, right after Marketplace.
I'm Bert Lum.
And I'm Ryan Ozawa.
Next time on Bite Marks Cafe, we'll find out what tech policy issues might take center stage at this year's legislative session.
We'll have Robbie Melton, Executive Director of the High Technology Development Corporation, to give her perspective.
That's next time on Bite Marks Cafe, Wednesday at 5.
Support for The Body Show comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk show programming. Mahalo to contributors Bush Consulting, Sacred Hearts Academy, and Hawaii Supply.
Aloha. Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak here in the studio with some real exciting guests. We're talking to Gabrielle Solis from Gyrotonic, Casey Carlberg, Tri Fitness. And as I promised, after our quick break, we're going to come back in and talk with Russell Van Dyken and Zenny from Yoga Loft. Now, yoga, that's like one of those mystery exercises to me. I mean, mystery just because I don't know much about it other than I'm not that flexible. So why am I scared of yoga, and how can you make me want to do it?
Well, first of all, yoga is not about flexibility.
Thank God. Okay. Then I do have a chance. Creative movement and yoga. All right.
Yeah. So if you're not flexible, that's maybe a sign that you need to come in and check out yoga. And
oh,
see
fine.
What
call
all
me
about,
out
so.
On my inflexibility right now on air and tell me come to yoga. Well, okay. And we'll talk a little bit about the fact that you do free yoga the last Sunday of every month. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to try it, they could come in and do it. So we'll mention that in just a minute. But tell me more about yoga. What are the principles of yoga? And why is it so popular?
I think that yoga is popular now.
I mean, I see that a lot of people are doing yoga, and you hear about it in a variety of different places. It came from India, right?
So it did.
And there's a billion people in India. And so if it was hurting them, I don't think there would be a billion. So clearly it's good for you, and it's helpful for your body. What about yoga?
So yoga helps with balance. It also helps with strength and flexibility. It's a low impact on the joints. And so if you have joint issues, you can actually work through some of those and maybe start to heal some of the joints as well as some of your older injuries. And then personalized yoga actually helps as well. And so you can kind of work with your teacher to kind of work through some of those old injuries and start to rehab those as well. It's also, yoga helps with stress. In everyday life, we're all stressed in our daily lives and our work and our jobs. And so yoga's been proven to lower cortisol levels, which is associated with stress in the body. And so it helps with the inflammation in the body as well.
And I'll go with you on that, because I know that I've gone to maybe one yoga class, and they lost me at the whole make your mind think of nothing. All I was thinking is, ow, why can't I stop right now? This is painful. But it was really interesting that the whole general motto is to just let go of the stress and just feel your body in motion doing these movements.
Yeah. And, you know, we also...
Why is that so hard?
Well...
Maybe it's not hard for you.
I suppose
you.
It's,
I don't know.
Some people really, like, really have their mind going all the time.
Yeah.
And so...
And raised.
Can you breathe? I mean, everybody can breathe. And so that's really kind of one of our core focuses
We're
in yoga.
We're going to get those, like, heavy breathers on the microphone right now. We're all taking the breath. So, okay. So
yeah,
we
right.
can, and breath is one of those things
right, so
that
the breath,
yoga is really
yeah,
good with. Right.
So breath gives you that focus of, okay, I'm focusing on the sound of my breath, the quality of the breath. Yeah, it may be a little bit uncomfortable, but it also helps you just kind of come back to that center and starts to kind of concentrate the mind on that one thing. And so it's not so much about thinking about nothing, but thinking about one thing. And so yoga really creates that focus, that singular point of focus. And so if it's the breath or if it's something else in life, actually.
All right, Zenny, you've been teaching and you've been a student. And yoga, we said earlier, it was kind of ironic. You're like, it's the Zen thing with Zenny. So so tell me a little bit about how you think yoga improves your fitness. What does it do for you?
I think that for me personally, it's the way that it makes me feel after I've done a yoga class or even just taking a few minutes to quiet my mind and meditate. I actually did the formal Zen training at the Chosenji Temple in Kalihi, where they take you through 6 weeks and teach you how to meditate. And it's very interesting when it was...
I think it would take me 12 weeks.
presented to me this idea that we all can agree, like most people are stressed out and we all say like, I can't get my mind to stop. But why don't we question that? Why do we really think we can't stop the mind? And if we look at, you know, the culture of the places that things like yoga and meditation came out of, they were very contemplative in those places. So, for example, think of just like the Japanese and with the whole idea of Zen and sitting under a cherry tree and just watching the cherry blossoms fall down. And in that experience of just watching, being fully present, that's really what Zen is about. That's what meditation is about, where you're experiencing something without having any judgment or labeling it as good or bad, where you're just fully alive in that moment. That's kind of the essence of meditation, bringing you to that point.
And are you meditating when you do yoga?
Yes, absolutely. You're meditating when you're doing the poses, because yoga emphasizes really feeling the poses. So, for example, if you're doing something that's stretching your hamstrings, you know, as you go into it, you really want to feel, am I doing this at the appropriate level of intensity? And if it's too much, then I back off. If it's not enough, then I push myself harder, because your body will give you instant feedback.
Ow.
Ow.
Give you feedback.
So if it's an ow, it's actually your body saying, hey, let's just ease up on this a little bit. Ow doesn't mean that you should stop doing it. Ow usually means that your body likes it and wants to change, wants to get flexible. I mean, I think that just something very practical is like putting your shoes on. You know, those of us that would be honest, we want to say that I want to be able to put my shoes on forever. But then if you're tight.
You're just cheating if you wear slippers all the time.
But if
right?
you say your back hurts because you're tight or your leg hurts and then you get injured, and it's like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden I can't put my shoes on. So it's like, it's very practical. Flexibility is a very practical thing, and I think we all need a little bit more of it.
Absolutely. It's one of the things people lose as they get older is that flexibility. And it's one of the concerns because medically, if you lose your balance, you're at risk for falling. If you, God forbid, fracture a hip, you know, for the stats on hip fractures, 50% of people never walk the same again after a hip fracture. 25% of those, depending on the age, never walk without any kind of assistant like a cane or a walker. You know, so it's actually really devastating as people get older and realize that they didn't put enough money in, Casey, what you called your fitness bank. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Do the exercise now do the activity now and get reap the benefits later. It's like your 401k or your pension plan. You know, put the money in now. Look at how much it grows, and it's worth so much more as time goes on because your body is healthier and you can do the activities that you love. Now, Casey, I've been in a couple of your training groups, and you always encourage folks that at any level of fitness, there is an activity they can do. They don't have to be fast. They don't have to be in shape. They can just join. And in your case, the group attitude or the atmosphere is really encouraging. And just get out there and do something. So what are some of the activities and programs that you have that really get the folks out there who are just intimidated by the whole idea of, I'm going to go bike 20 miles. I mean, like, that's not in the repertoire. How do you get people to start from, you know what, I made a goal this year, I'm going to be more fit, to here's how I'm actually going to do it?
Well, I think that's a really good point. And as adults, we really don't make time for ourselves. And so we're very fortunate in that we've created this atmosphere with the group training. It's that camaraderie, that like-mindedness, that we try to create a environment of support. And when people come and they want to get, say, for example, ride bike and get more confident, and that really comes with first the desire. And I think when you really want to do something, if you can seek out some professional help or help so that you could do it correctly, so that you really feel like you're empowered. And that is really what our goal is. So we'll take anyone, and with that group thought, is that we're going to be supportive, and you'll find someone that's about your level, teaching them the basics. And we do start with a body alignment, because your position on the bicycle is everything. And then once you can establish that level of comfortableness on your bike, and then you start to get out there, and we go in groups together, and we have coaches, and we're watching, and we're constantly really having them, trying to get them become more efficient, more technically sound. And as they're endurance increases in their distance that they ride, they just get stronger, and again, their self, you know, it really affects overall self-esteem and everything. So we're getting women who are, you know, professionals in their own line of work, and mothers and things like that, and you see them just being so vulnerable. They're like, okay, show me how to do this, and that is just really the most rewarding thing to see. And then all of a sudden, they're able to do what they didn't do, and we start in Honolulu, and we're all the way in Waimanalo, and they're like, I can't believe we're doing this, and
I'm kind of catching the bus home. Yeah, I mean, I totally. But, I mean, I think one of the things that you said is, you know, when the bike keeps you honest. Mm-hmm. Running, swimming keeps you honest. It doesn't matter what you do in your job. You could be the head of some multimillionaire corporation, or you could be somebody who is a stay-at-home mom. And when it comes down to that bike does not care who you are. You're either on it balanced or you're not.
Yeah.
And those basics are things that apply to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter where you come from or what you're doing. Once you get on a bike, you got to learn how to bike correctly and get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Excellent. And so anybody could join, because I know you do a lot of you mentioned boot camp, which occurs usually in the mornings. Then you have the cycling team. You've got running, getting everybody up to speed for the women's 10K that's coming up in March. And so there's always some sort of an event that you get people excited about, but also just it's not the race, it's the journey.
Yeah, because when it all comes down to it, it's about us putting ourselves in a position of growth. And I think we need to do something other than the stress of life does get to us. And so we are empowered by physical activity and movement. And like you said, you know, when you come and you're working out with your body, you're really at your most raw. And you can't hide anything. And so
you can try, but spandex is going to show it anyway.
Yeah, okay. And whatever your goal is, you know, it doesn't matter. So the small improvements, whether that's, you know, you increase your speed, or you're consistent in showing up to work out, or you've eaten, you know, a salad every day, or drank more water, or lost, you know, 10 pounds. I mean, all those things are just victories. And so we try to instill that as, you know, no matter what it is that you're trying to do, all those little improvements count, and they count towards helping us become more disciplined, more excited about life, and more empowered to do more, be happy, and share that with everyone around us.
Mm-hmm. Really can change your mindset completely. Now, Gabriel, let's talk a little bit about people who have had medical challenges. There are some, you know, you mentioned you were doing some work at Rehabilitation Hospital of the Pacific, and that generally is the place people go if they've had some type of an injury or they've had some type of a medical condition. What are some of the people that you work with? What kind of medical problems do they have? You know, we talked briefly before the show, and you said you've worked with patients who have had strokes and people who have had problems with spinal cord injuries. What's your niche?
I feel that there's something for everybody. And so whoever has been presented, whether even to brain trauma, you know, in her situation, helping her move, you can hear the shortness in the breath. And so you knew there was some kind of a block or something there. Honestly, I believe the niche might be approaching therapy at an energetic level and opening it up. It was described to me the other day that people are like springs, and that spring can stop. And there's this study about animals, and when they go into shock just before something happens, they'll look like they're dead. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe an hour or something later, they kind of have convulsions, and then they'll walk away from the situation, but there'll be no trauma attached to that experience versus that fight or flight syndrome. Mm-hmm. So the same thing with people is like the springs that are not moving, maybe from a traumatic experience, and you need to get that spring pumping again. And that makes a lot of sense to me, is that if one can help, you know, and encourage somebody and motivate somebody to find, you know, that movement again, then everything can start to go from there, and you can really do a lot of change. So people don't have to believe that they're trapped or stuck or, you know, hit a plateau, that there's something for everybody.
It's all motivational. I mean, everything that each of you have said has really kind of hit that chord that I think a lot of people look at. You know, it's January 1st, it's 2015. What do I want to do in the next year? Who do I want to be? What do I want to be able to do physically? And that's something that everybody takes a look at in the beginning of the year. We've talked earlier this month about heart disease prevention, about weight loss and ways that you can work on improving your physical fitness by also improving your activity level today. Now, for those folks who are very fit, let's say, you know, we've talked about the folks who want to get up off the couch and get motivated and do stuff. What about the people who are sort of really good athletes? I mean, Casey, you work with a lot of these women. They've done half Ironman, Ironman. They've done all these different activities. How would they benefit from something like yoga?
I think that's a very good question, and I always encourage that type of person, and they're typically more of a type A type of person, real high achieving, more is better. And I try to encourage them to do a stretch class or especially a yoga class once a week, not only to help to lengthen their muscles and you know, stretch out, but also to stop their mind. So I think yoga is just really one of those things that really, all the breathing, it brings more oxygen to the brain. It helps to relax that body. And exercise, and a lot of it, can also cause stress. So then not only you got life stress, you got exercise stress. And it's a good kind of stress. But I think all the breathing kind of sets us up for meditation and sets us up for relaxation. And that deep relaxation, our body's able to repair itself and they're able to sleep. And it's that I think a lot of people are missing because they just are on the go, go, go. And so if you can experience that at least once a week, I think, you know, and more would be better. But
sure,
it helps
you do it once. You're like, I want to go every day.
Yeah. It starts to instill a sense of, wow, that was really great. And when they go back to working out and they feel better and they're stronger, I think then they can make that connection. And hopefully they can make that connection. But, you know, it's really getting people to just slow down for a little bit and know that less sometimes is better, and that stretching and relaxing and all those things make you stronger, because it's equally as important as the activity, as your nutrition and your, you know, holistically speaking, you know, we need it all in order to be optimal.
All right. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. You're listening to The Body Show. We've got a panel of experts today. We've got Gabriel Solis, Russell Van Dyken, and Casey Carlberg. And we are all here talking about how to incorporate exercise and fitness into your daily routine, not just for this year, but maybe for many years to come. When we come back after this quick break, we're going to be talking some more about activities and availability of classes all throughout the islands and what sort of programs might get people interested to start thinking about doing some exercise, either in a group setting or even with a therapist or a trainer, and how they can take the first steps to make it happen. As always, you can join our conversation at 941-3689, our neighbor islands 877-941-3689. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay with us.
Ask an Irishman for the meaning of life, and he's likely to quote William Butler Yeats.
Wine comes in at the mouth, and love comes in at the eye. That's all we shall know for truth before we go old and die.
The Scots love their poets too.
When I did dress up as Robert Burns, I was a bit shocked at the attention I got. It turned me into a complete babe magnet.
And meet Agatha Christie's grandson on the next Travel with Rick Steves.
Tuesday at 4 p.m. following Fresh Air.
The Domestic Violence Action Center is marking its 25th anniversary. Next on The Conversation, we'll talk with Executive Director Nancy Creedman. She'll compare this year's legislative priorities to the year the group started. We'll talk tomorrow morning at 8 on The Conversation.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. You're listening to The Body Show, and we're talking today about exercise, the third of our three-part series, New Year, New You. And we were just talking with Casey Carlberg. She is the owner and founder of Try Fitness, putting the fun back into fitness. And we were talking about ways in which yoga and other forms of exercise can help the really good athletes to be even better. Now, you know, Gabrielle, there are a lot of people out there who do a lot of bodybuilding, do a lot of, I don't want to call it extreme athletes because that makes it sound negative, but it isn't always. But those people who really put a lot of time and effort into fitness, and then you see them at rehab. What's happened?
Okay. I'm passionate about this. I see a lot of people who, you know, physically, you know, might be fit and they're active and so forth, but you do see them at rehab. One has to take a look at the posture.
I'm sitting up straighter as
there you go.
I talk with
start
you.
Start breathing.
Okay. Bring in the microphone up. I won't heavy breathe, I promise.
And so I think that that's something that's not recognized right now, is that I heard in New Zealand, it was muscles for go, not for show, that you really have to think about, this is my thing, think about the next 10 years down the road. What are you doing today and how is that going to affect you down the next 10 years? If we're continuing to build muscle and so forth over a structure that's curled forward or hunched and so forth, that's going to affect oneself down the road.
So posture is a big thing.
Huge.
And people don't realize it. In case you talked about, know where your body is on the bike, have a professional look at you and say, yeah, you're doing it right or nah-uh, because none of us can really judge ourselves that well when we're doing it. We think we might be doing something right. And some professional can say to us, you know what? Nope. You got to bring your arms in, or you got to relax your grip or whatever it might be, because they can see it and we don't realize it. And it can make all the difference in the world. Now, tell us, Zenny, if somebody wants to go learn about doing yoga, that's one of the ways that people can help to work on this strengthening and stretching and lower their stress, all these different sorts of things. How can they do it? Now, you have a class that you're going to be teaching that anybody can go to, even like super beginners, even like people inflexible.
People who have never done it before.
Okay, put
anybody?
Me on the list, like the extra help section of the yoga class, you know, like those of us who need a little extra special attention. Tell me about that and why would I want to go and when can I go and nobody say they know me?
Well, first of all, as a beginner, it's important to, you know that you are a beginner and not expect yourself to do the practice that maybe somebody that has had more experience is doing. So, for
and they're
example,
always in front of you. You know,
you walk
doing
into walk into the gym, and you know it seems like everybody around you is doing splits. So it's important to turn away from those people.
That's when you walk out of the gym if everyone's doing splits.
And then
you go in the
you
other
You tell
direction.
Yourself, hopefully if you have a good teacher, the teacher will give modifications. The teacher might say something like, okay, if you can't touch your toes, you can touch your knees. You know, if that's even too much, maybe you touch the middle of your thighs. And then just know that the people that are really good they probably started out in the same boat where they couldn't touch their toes. And just from my experience being a teacher since 2003, I can't remember how many times people have said, I can't do yoga because I can't touch my toes. And I tell them, well, yoga will actually help you touch your toes, you know, eventually if you do it consistently. So it's important that you don't try to do an advanced practice if you're not an advanced practitioner. But also it's good to tell the teacher. So if you decide to go to a group class, say, hey, I'm a beginner, and maybe let them know if you have any injuries or pre-existing conditions, like maybe you're pregnant, that kind of thing, so that they can give you modifications. And if they are a good teacher, they'll give you modifications, if only to say, you know, I don't really know anything about your condition, so maybe you can just rest this next pose out. But yoga is not just about the poses. Yoga is just as much about the breathing and the mindfulness. So that's where the meditation comes in. And I always like to say that maybe not everybody can do all the fancy poses, but everybody can breathe and everybody can work with their minds. So at Yoga Loft, we are really trying to get yoga out into the community by offering a free class. It's the last Sunday of every month. And it's at the Kapolei Studios for the people that live on the west side, yay. And it's 10 o'clock to 11:30, again, last Sunday of every month. Hope to see you there.
And, like, if you can't do an hour and a half, you can leave.
Yes, or you can just take a rest.
Take a rest. You can. They'll have nice music, and you can just relax on the yoga mat and breathe and
yeah,
not
we're
feel
also,
bad.
We're at a really great location, so we're upstairs. There is an elevator, but there's a Jamba Juice downstairs. There's a really good Thai cafe.
You can, like, run away from yoga
there's
class.
There's a Starbucks.
Like, I'm going to go eat some Thai food, get some coffee.
If you had enough, like, go get a healthy kale smoothie at least at Jamba Juice.
All right, so there's possibilities.
For sure.
To go do a variety of different culinary exercises after maybe you do your yoga exercises. Okay. And Russell, let's talk a little bit about the breathing, because that's something that translates to what Casey does mm-hmm. and what Gabriel does, because it has a lot to do with how people learn how to breathe effectively for their body. And you always hear people say, okay, inhale for count how many seconds and exhale. And, you know, you just, what's the deal? What's the real best way to breathe? If somebody out there is listening right now and says, yeah, okay, I'll go to yoga class and I'll start stretching and I'll do some activities, what about something simple? How can we teach them how to breathe?
So very simply, breathe through your belly. So breathe into the lower part of your lungs first and fill up your lungs and keep filling it up and feel your ribs expand. And then you can start to maybe feel like you're breathing through your collarbone. Basically take a really big breath, a full breath, right?
How long should you do it? Like, should you, like, try and do this over, you know, not 2 seconds, like, okay, I took my breath, but you're talking about, like, taking
right.
a nice
yeah,
maybe
count
breath.
To, yeah, 5 seconds inhale okay. and 5 second exhale.
Does it matter, nose or mouth? People always say inhale through one, exhale through the other. If you're congested, if the vog is getting you, what are you going to do?
Breathe however you can.
Doesn't
ideally
matter.
Breathing through your nose is shown to be better for you.
Okay.
You know, it moistens and conditions the air.
Sure.
It also gives you a certain advantage to being able to control kind of the volume and the sound a little bit better than just breathing through your mouth. Right?
Okay.
But overall, breathing through the nose is better.
Just get
oxygen
somehow.
Breathe somehow. So,
right.
Yeah. And usually actually going through yoga practice, you tend to actually, the congestion tends to go away by being upside down, folding forward, head up, head down, you know, and actually a lot of students find that by the end of the class, they can actually breathe.
Another reason to go do yoga, nasal congestion.
Absolutely.
I can't say I've seen that on a yoga brochure before.
It happens
but,
all the time.
You know, you should put it on there. Okay, so breathing. So breathe in using your belly. Use all of those muscles. Get in the air. Breathe in through your nose. And then do you hold it?
You can. But generally in the yoga class, we don't. Just encourage just an even breath, so even inhale and an even
and
exhale, unless we're doing
okay.
some special things with the breath, which yoga definitely encourages as well.
Okay.
But for the general practice, we're just inhaling and exhaling, even inhale, even exhale. And a lot of classes will actually kind of guide you through every breath and every movement as well. And if you can't quite make it, if your nose is stuffed up, then breathe however you can. Be comfortable in the class.
Get some oxygen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but it really just kind of teaches you to focus on the breath and bring you to that center.
So you've made me want to de-stress and go do yoga. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not an easy task because I've gone to some classes. And one time I went to this class at the Y, and they were so nice and polite. And they're like, oh, a new student, bring your mat in. Come right in, into the center and join our circle. I'm like, no. No, I'm in the back here. I'm fine back here. No, you must be a member of our circle. Expand the circle. I'm thinking, I'm mortified. Everyone has to move their mat so that I can be in the circle. And I can't even do yoga poses. But they were so nice and polite about it. So, you know, you don't have to fear yoga. It actually can be good for you. You
Absolutely.
Might get less congested, and you might just feel less stressed.
Yeah, I mean, like Cindy said, actually, after the class is when you're like, oh, wow, I feel really good. Yeah, I feel relaxed. I mean, I can let the day go. I can let things that I was stressed about just go.
And then if you're at Yoga Loft, you can go down the Jamba Juice and have... You know, a delicious Jamba. I mean, there you go. A kale smoothie, because that's really what I'm going for.
Or you can have a coffee and get back with your day. Starbucks.
Yeah, there you go. A little coffee. Never hurt anybody. Might actually be good medically, but not too much of anything. All right. So, KC, Tri Fitness, what are they up to these days? I see your group. They're out there on bikes. They're out there at Kaka'ako Park. You've got the running group. If people wanted to go ahead and be part of that, how do they find you? How do they find the group? What do they do?
You can just go to our website at trifitnesshawaii.com or give a call at 946-0346. Or you can always just go to our Facebook/trifitness, and we usually post everything that's going on. We're currently having 30 days of gratitude for January. So,
30 days of gratitude.
Yeah. Being grateful makes you feel better, makes you feel more happy, creates great energy, and, you know.
So think of something you can be grateful for every day.
Awesome.
That's right.
I'm grateful all of you guys showed up today.
Hey.
Because if I had to do the show just by myself, I think we would have some trouble. So my gratitude extends to all of you for being here. Okay. And so they can find you. They can see you and your team on the road. You've got this event coming up, the HPH or Straub Women's 10K. A big event for women, but men are involved. They do a lot of great volunteering, support their wives, loved ones, friends, sisters, mothers, everybody. And there's some folks who have done it every year.
That's right. We're at the 38th annual Hawaii Pacific Health Women's 10K. So we get generally around 2,000 women. It's Hawaii's largest all women's running event. And it is for women only. And this year, exciting, we have a keiki run. So... just right after the women's 10K starts, we're going to have a keiki run that'll go around the park. But what we're trying to do is just get more women involved in taking care of themselves, get their kids involved, because we ultimately become examples for our children. Spouses, husbands can become volunteers. We have Boy Scout troops that help set up, break down schools that come out. The Kamehameha Schools comes and participates as well as volunteers. So we're looking for volunteers and people to help out, but also for people to participate. So you can just go to the Hawaii Pacific Health website and find out all the information about signing up, when it is, and all the details and logistics from there.
Well, and you've always put on a great race every year. And there's always these really cool shirts you guys come up with, different every year, different logo, different style.
Yes.
And then you also do some awards at the end, and they're always interesting and unique. And I've never seen women run, push, and shove more than I do at the bandstand after the race, except for maybe at the Nawahini Triathlon. I do see some pushing and shoving there, I got to tell you.
Yeah, that
another exciting women's event, though, because that's another thing you want to promote is fitness for everybody. But let's go ahead and take a look and give women the opportunity to have their own race where they can feel like they're comfortable and get started doing activities that'll really help them throughout the rest of their lives.
Yeah, women only events are really exciting because it gives women the opportunity to be the first to cross finish line. And so it's been my pleasure to be the race director for the Hawaii Pacific Health Women's 10K, and as the founder of the Nawahini Sprint Triathlon and Festival, which comes up every September, Women's Health Month, it's amazing. So we have beginners to pros. We had Bree Wee, a pro triathlete, you know, get involved with us last year. So it's just really exciting, and that's where she started her career in triathlon. And so we just, for the past 19 years, have just really been out in the community supporting women and promoting their health and fitness.
Well, and I've never heard any bystanders complain about 2,000 or several hundred women coming running across the road, getting on their bikes. I haven't heard complaints, I'll tell you, Casey.
Yeah.
Everybody enjoys that. So, all right. Now, Gabriel, one of the things you mentioned is the fact that, you know, we were talking about having insurance coverage for certain elements of physical therapy, and yet we sort of talked about how it's important to also invest in yourself. So part of what you do is work with Rehab of the Pacific, but then you have a couple of other areas where you do some of the activities in the dance studio. Tell us a little bit about where people can find you and find out more about Gyrotonic.
Thank you. So at Rehabilitation Hospital of the Pacific, there's a wellness program. And so we're incorporating, I guess, further opportunities where it's feasible for people to continue rehabilitation, therapy. So there's an opportunity there to maybe reach me. We also have that Gyrotonic Tower over there. I'm also at Honolulu Dance Studio for the kids. I'm dance training all the way to professional dancers from the young ones. There's kids camps that are available. We have a spring break camp that's coming up, and that's ages from 4 to 12 years old. That'll be hosted by myself and my wife, who has her master's in early childhood development. And then also at Egan Enois Studio, I run the Children's Self-Defense Program there. I guess I'll just leave my my email address. It's gfit, so G-F-I-T, the number 4, letter U, at hotmail.com. My phone number is 808-386-3031, or YouTube, Gyro Guru Gabe, GYROGURUGABE, and you can see the kids on the Gyrotonic Tower. You can see the rehab and some other stuff that I hope is appropriate.
Well, and it sounds like, we hope is appropriate.
No,
I've seen
some
of the pictures.
No, I'm teasing.
Everybody's wearing
the kids. The kids.
But, I mean, truthfully, part of it is people may not, and I didn't even, when you first said Gyrotonic, I'm like, gyroscope, going in circles, oh, I'm getting dizzy.
Yes.
So, it's really a lot more about using certain positions and using equipment and expanding your body's abilities. And the rotational movement is going along with your joints, mm-hmm. which is what your joints are meant to do in a lot of cases. So
exactly.
If you wonder, what is this equipment and what does it look like? That's when you can find it online. Go to the YouTube page and get more information about it.
Perfect. Yeah,
all
thank
right.
you, Kathy.
Excellent. Well, now, Casey, you talked about gratitude. And about how this is January, 30 days of gratitude. I think there's 31 days in January. So I'm going to add an extra day of gratitude for you. But I think
Thank
there
you.
Is, because I've never been really good at this whole calendar.
There is 31 days.
There is, I
we
swore.
Started
I know
on.
That little song, and I'm like, I kind of forget the song. So there's 31 days. So this is one of those times when anybody who really wants to get exercise and fitness can look at a variety of different options. We've got yoga. You've got beginners to all different levels of fitness that you work with, KC, and people can find it at TriFitness. Gabe, you do wonderful work with stroke patients, and we'd have to talk about that on a whole nother show.
Mm.
But also spinal cord injuries and helping people get back to movement.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing that, and we've got about a minute, if there's one thing that each of you could say that you think would sort of really help to encapsulate what your wish is for people who are interested in fitness, who want to get out there and get going, what would your advice be? Russell, you poked Zenny, so I'm going to say you're up.
Yeah.
Piece right. of advice, you've got about like 10 seconds or so. Somebody really, you're this inspired. What can they do if they really want to go ahead and maybe try yoga?
So if you really want to come down and check out yoga, I would really encourage you to commit to doing at least 3 times.
Three times.
Yeah, the first time.
Out, right?
Well, make your decision after 3 times. Because the first time it's going to be like,
okay.
What is this? My hamstrings hurt. And
yeah,
the next time you'll be like, you'll recognize, okay, this is what we're doing. Might feel a little bit better, and then the third time you can make up your mind whether or not you like it or if it's not for you.
All right. Well, we're about out of time, so I'm going to say gratitude, Casey, and expanding your body's abilities.
Keep moving.
Yeah. Love that. All right. Thanks so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise. If you want to hear the show again, you can click on hawaiipublicradio.org. Follow the links to The Body Show. Our engineer is David Chong. Our executive producer, Beth Ann Kozlovich. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. We'll see you next week right here at 5 on Monday on The Body Show. Looking forward to it. Get out there and get moving. We'll see you then.